Good morning, everyone. I think I'll just let Laura share her testimony first, and I will share mine.
Good morning. I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. It's the reason that I can stand here and have a testimony today. I'm the oldest of six. I have three sisters and two brothers. We're a very close family. We always were, and I'm very grateful for that. Seems like I have their support, and it's a blessing. When I was growing up, I was very self-willed and independent. I always thought I knew best, and I didn't always listen to my parents the way I should have, but I did have a relationship with them, and that helped. I loved my siblings, but as the oldest, I was not very willing to help care for them. I just didn't like the responsibility, I guess. At the age of 12, I got involved in drinking, and my mouth became filthy. I couldn't say without having some filthy language in it, and I thought it was cool. I thought it was how I had to be to fit in, because I thought it was how my friends were and I needed to fit in with them. I loved listening to country music. It did everything for me. I'd go to school and I'd come home and I'd be singing country music. It was just, I didn't know anything else. I would help sing the gospel, but it didn't really do anything for me. My mom would often tell me around the age of probably 11, she would say, "I don't really want you to go to parties because I don't want you to do the things that I was involved in." She didn't want me to have relationships like she did and just get involved in all the drinking, but she didn't know that I was already in that group of friends. I always thought, well, I can just go and fit in with my uncles and my aunt. Just, I don't have to do the bad things. I can just be there. Just, at least I had friends. Well, praise God that at the age of around 15, I started seeing things differently. I hung around a different group of friends, and the things that appealed to me earlier, it just didn't really seem to do anything for me anymore. And it was around that time, about the end of 15, when the community singing started, and I asked Dad if we just couldn't go see what they were. So he agreed to. He wasn't really sure if we should start doing different things or things out of the ordinary because people talked about them, but we went, and it started working in my life. I just started seeing things like that Lord was showing me. And one night we were at Elvie and Laura for community singing, and they read the scripture in Corinthians. It was Corinthians 6. And I'll just read it. A couple verses that convicted me. It said, "Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And that really convicted me, because I was involved in drinking terribly. And I went home that night, and I had a Bible. But for the first time, I had a desire to pick it up and and read the sixth chapter of Corinthians myself, because I just wanted to make sure that it really was the way that he had read it that night, that I understood it. And it's what it said. It said, I would not have any place in the kingdom of God. I remember just being alone in my bedroom and I cried out to the Lord. And I just told him I was sorry and asked him if he would just deliver me from my passions, because I knew they were bound for hell. And he did. Sometimes I look back and I just think it was a miracle, because from that day forward I had no desire to drink or use filthy language or be involved in filthy talking. I confessed my sins to my parents, and it hurt me to hurt my mom, but I knew that, you know, she was just shocked with what I was involved in at that young of an age, but I knew that it was even hurting God greater. So with a desire to live for the Lord, I pressed on. I turned 16 and went to a youth group that didn't drink or smoke, but I knew it took more than that. So the verse that clung to me said, marvel not that I say unto you that ye must be born again. I believed that verse. I often felt alone in our youth group, and I longed to be with the New Order youth whenever I could. But at the age of 17, I was baptized. And I didn't really have the fellowship that I should have had, but I knew where I could be encouraged. I loved being with my cousins that were converted that had joined the New Order Church. And I just loved that fellowship. And at the age of 20, Stefan and I started courting. I could see his intentions were good, but I realized that he didn't realize that you could only have victory through Jesus Christ. I kept praying for him. And I praise the Lord for our marriage today. He's a God and leader in our home, and I know it's all because of Christ. Please pray for me as I press toward toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God bless you.
Yeah, I can truly say that she has been praying for me a lot through our courtship. And I can stand here this morning and just rejoice. This morning, I think I would just like to, if we could, just sing my testimony first. The song, Jesus Signed My Pardon. It was a blessing, and it'd be a blessing if the whole congregation could just help sing it. Yeah, I always love to sing, but praise God, He's given me. I would sing those songs, and then I would sing anything else with it too. The words didn't mean anything to me. But praise God, I can sing that song today with joy in my heart and rejoicing that He has set me free. And this morning I was just meditating and thinking and wondering, what's the importance of remembering our testimony? And I came across the scriptures there in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 13. It says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In verse 11, he says, "Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And those scriptures just blessed me this morning. And then Revelations 12:11 also says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And he says, "They love not their lives unto death." And I was challenged by that last statement there. They love not their lives unto death. And that is my heart. That's where I want to be. I was born and raised in a good home. We were well provided for. I do have many good memories. But also, there's times that were not so good. But I just praise the Lord for the good times that we had at home. And at age 12, 13, 7th, 8th grade at school, I got involved in some pornography. One of my friends brought a magazine to school, and it did something to my mind. It polluted my mind. And from that day forth, I just remember just sinking deeper and deeper into sin, the lust of the flesh. On the outside, I was a decent person. I was not involved with many things that others were. But yet I was in deep sin with the lust of the flesh, with lusting after, just sinning against my own body and involved in very, very immoral. And my heart was in a turmoil. I knew. I knew it was wrong, but I had no power, no power over my sin, and I felt all alone. I was just, nobody else knew what I was going through. And it went on from age 13 to 21. I was just involved deeper and deeper in sin. At the age of 21, I started courting Laura. And I had a desire to do what was right, but I was wanting to do it on my own strength. I knew what I should do. I would read the Pathway magazines, how couples would have peer courtships. I thought in my life, maybe this would help me starting a courtship, but it didn't help. And I thought we could our courtship to try to keep it pure, but on my own strength it was impossible. I was just continued to sink deeper and deeper into sin. And I remember telling Laura that, that I desire to have a pure courtship. And she was rejoicing because that's what she wanted also. But I praise God for those desires, because He grants us the desires of our hearts. And the first couple months of our courtship was really, how can I say it, maybe just rocky. It was, Laura would share things with me, but I was a person that kept everything to myself. I wouldn't share anything. And Laura would just plead with me sometimes, what's wrong? I would say, nothing, it's everything's okay. But it wasn't okay. And Laura's family was very much the opposite of mine, of being open with things and just talk about things. And her dad would read the scriptures and talk about them. And I didn't fit in there. And I got to the point where I just told Laura, I think we just need to quit our courtship because I know I'll never fit in with your family. I knew I wouldn't. But praise God that he was merciful. We started our courtship on October of 2008, and on April of 2009 was Daniel and Marilyn's wedding, and I still praise the Lord for that day. Laura begged on me to go. We just came to the dinner, or afternoon, I'm not sure. But a dear brother just pulled me aside that day. I remember standing there by Willis and Barb's, by that little tree there in front of their house, and he just asked me how I'm doing. And I just told him, I'm doing okay. And he just started sharing with me his past life and what all he was involved in. And he was just, he just shared his past life and the things that he was deeply involved in. And I was involved in the same thing, the sins of the flesh. And I just remember telling him that day, I don't know what he's talking about. And he just looked at me and he said, praise the Lord. And I was convicted. I was deeply convicted in my heart. I just remember him telling me, praise the Lord. It just spoke to me. Because I knew what he was talking about. I knew full well what he was talking about. And he encouraged me that day to share my life with someone. Just open up and share. Said if it's with the Lord or whoever it may be, just share with someone. And I can say that day I left there with a lot to think about and also feeling guilty because I had lied. And also knowing that I wasn't the only one that was involved in these deep immoral sins. And it went some time. I'm not sure exactly how long it was after that. But I just remember one night up at Laura's. I biked up to Laura's. I was getting ready to leave, and she would often ask me, "What's wrong? Why don't you share anything with me?" And I was getting ready to leave. I was standing on my bike. I was just across my bike, had my hands on the handlebars, and I was just leaning forward on my bike, and she just came out and stood in front of my bike. She said, "You're not leaving tonight until you tell me what's wrong." I started sharing some things, and then I could see that she didn't know what to do with it, with everything. But yeah, I shared a lot of things that night, but I didn't share everything. And that's also something that I would encourage anyone that is truly wanting victory to not hold anything back. Absolutely nothing. And I went home that night, I felt light, but yet I didn't confess everything. And later on, as we went on in our courtship, I did confess everything to her, and I know that she was praying for me. She was desiring to read together in our courtship, to read the Bible and pray together. And it was just something that was very, very different for me. I wanted to, but yet it was just too different. But yet after that night, I think it was that night even that I told her I would like to start reading the Bible together and just read together once. And she told me that she's been praying about it for a while, but she wanted me to make the decision. So she was rejoicing too that night. And yes, our courtship went on. It just became more real to me as we read the Word together. We would read in Psalms a lot, and just blessed promises in there that David shared, the victory in Jesus. And one night I just remember telling her, I said, you know, if we get married, we're going to want to pray together. Why don't we just start now? And that was another place where she was rejoicing because she was praying about that too. And yeah, I just thank the Lord for His faithfulness and not letting her give up on me and praying for me. And He's been faithful ever since. We take the Word of God just as He reveals truth to us, to walk in it and not waver from it. And in closing, I'd just like to read a couple of scriptures in Romans. In Romans 5, the last two verses and a couple of verses in 6, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, where there was, you know, even though I had many sins, God's grace abounded toward me. But then what I like in chapter 6 there, the first verse, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Can I just continue to keep sinning that, oh, God's grace will cover me?" Verse 2, he says, "God forbid." He says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life." And that is my heart, that is my desire today, to seal my faith with water baptism. I just ask that you would all pray for us as we continue on. If you see anything in our lives, we want to be open for correction, reproof. God bless.
Prayer first.
Yes, Lord, let's bow before you here. Before your throne of grace, Lord, to thank you. To thank you for that mercy that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. Truly, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by your mercy, you saved us, Lord. We thank you this morning that your promises are that your mercies are new every morning. And they are new again today, and we thank you, Lord. Just pray for Matthew and Mary Beth here, Lord, that they can be calm. They can declare what good things you have done. We worship you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus. I'm going to begin with my testimony, and then I will have a few verses to share. I believe it all began before we had our crash in 07. I began feeling guilt for my sin. I remember having restless nights and feeling convicted, but I didn't pay much attention to it and just shrugged it off. Then we had our crash in 07, and I remember thinking afterward, what would have happened had I died? But I still tried to block it from my mind. That went on for about 2 years, I think. And it was sometime in 09, that one night, Dad asked me if I had anything to share. At first, I didn't really answer, but as he kept talking with me, I did break down and confess my sins to him. I remember feeling somewhat free after that, but after that night, I remember thinking of a few sins I had not confessed, and I knew what I should do, but I just was not ready to completely surrender to Jesus. I also fell back into some of my old habits of lying and immoral thoughts and actions and disrespectful to my parents and quit taking an interest in the Word of God. I remember hearing sermons on fully surrendering to God and being convicted, but I always said I would do it tomorrow, but tomorrow didn't come. And then in Bible school of 2015, this past winter, I was a bit hesitant about going for fear of people finding out who I really was. But I went simply because Dad wanted me to. The first day, I thought it might not be as bad as I thought. But as the week went on, I became heavily convicted. Then on Thursday morning, I told Dad I wanted to talk with him before I left. And by God's grace, I fully surrendered everything to the Lordship of Jesus. It has not been easy since, and I have failed a few times, but with his help, I have been gaining victory. And may God receive all the glory. And then I have some verses in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then 2 Corinthians 7, I would like this to be my goal for my life. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God bless you all.
Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. For those who do not know me, my name is Mary Beth Langer, and I am 14 years old. My parents are Joseph and Ida, and I have 7 siblings. This is my testimony of the work the Lord has done and is continuing to do in my life. At the age of 10, life was fairly normal until I began realizing that if I would die, I would not go to heaven. I then became fearful and would be easily scared. Many times I would say to myself, I would go talk to Dad tomorrow. Finally, over a period of time, I did go talk to Dad more than once and confess many things. We prayed and I'd feel much better. However, being quite young, I don't think I fully understood everything. Time went on, I repeated many sins, lying, pride, self-will, impure thoughts and actions. also getting easily upset and offended. I would feel condemned, but would think maybe I'm too young, or Dad and Mom are Christians, so I'm fine. I sat through many convicting messages, but too often my pride and excuses kept me from getting clear with God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I knew I wasn't experiencing victory, and I think a big part of the reason was that I wasn't willing to confess completely everything. Then in January of 2012, I believe, while at Bern one evening for Youth Bible School, Paul Hirschberger preached a message titled, "The Wages of Sin is Death." I was very convicted, but simply too proud to respond to the altar call. So I told God I would make everything right when we get home. Again, I hesitated, but I told Dad I need to talk. So that night, I confessed my sinful life and asked Jesus to create in me a clean heart. Oh, the freedom and peace that comes through truth. God was and still is very merciful to me. I'm thankful for his unwavering love and the promise of eternal life with him. Romans 6:8, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him." I also want to say, if anyone here has not surrendered to Jesus, please don't put it off. Life is too short to spend it pleasing self and the world. Also, eternity is long and very certain. Today is my desire to receive baptism as is taught in God's word. Then said Peter unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Please pray for me as I endeavor by his grace and the guidance of my godly parents to be faithful to my Lord and serve and follow him each day. I know it won't always be easy and I will be tempted, but I'm thankful to claim this promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. I have a poem that I found and would like to read it. It's titled, "The Cross." A symbol of my faith that strengthens me each day as I, by God's grace, walk the narrow way. You see, God's own Son, he gave his life for me and took my debt of sin to a place called Calvary. I owe my life to him, and all I'll ever be, all he asks is that I'll let him live through me. So I run the race empowered by his grace and give him all the glory as I look into his face. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Yes, I greet you in the name of Jesus, and I can testify that my two oldest children, their lives have changed since they gave their heart to the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that. It's such a blessing. And I have to think of the verse that is in 1 John in the back, in the third epistle, verse 4, says, "And I have no greater joy than to know that my children hear and walk in the truth." Just please pray for us as a family that we can all strive together toward that narrow road and seek Jesus together. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
Yeah, I also am very, very thankful to be here today. And it's a great joy to have your own children making that commitment to follow Jesus. I just do also testify that although they are not perfect, they have a desire to serve the Lord. I just have a couple verses in Jeremiah 23 and 24 that I was meditating on. 23, it starts with, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And truly it's that the Lord delights in loving kindness that that we're all here today. That He has delivered us from self and sin and the world. And now I think the challenge is to understand and know Him in a deeper way so that judgment and righteousness can be made known to a lost and dying world. And that may we all provoke one another into love and good works. We love you all. God bless you.
Greetings in Jesus' name. My name is Matt Brandenberger, for those that don't know me. I am the sixth one in the family. I have 10. I'm 17 years old. I greeted you in Jesus' name, the name that is above all names, whereby man must be saved. You know, what does that name mean to you guys? To me, it means life. To know that... To know that name just brings peace to my heart and gives me joy and the hope beyond the grave. In Philippians 2:9 it says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That is why I want to testify to you all that Jesus is the Lord of my life, and He saved my soul from spiritual death and gave me eternal life. When I was about 11 years old or something like that, I started to see my need for Jesus. I was scared and afraid to die. Or like when I heard a convicting sermon or something, it was kind of bringing fear in my heart. So one night that I couldn't sleep, I was just restless. I came down and confessed all my sins to Dad. But I was holding some sins back. I didn't confess all of them. I was too ashamed. But the next few days, I tried to convince myself that I was a Christian and I believed. But I had no power over my sins and my past desires and lust. So I just fell back into a deeper downward spiral. As life went on, my heart hardened to the truth. And I fell deeper into sin. But I didn't know how I was going to confess them. I was too ashamed of them. I didn't think I could ever bring them out. One afternoon, the last day of 2012, Dad asked me if I had anything to confess. He told me I was living in sin. He said, "I think everybody could see it." I wasn't happy. I didn't have the peace in my heart. And I said, "Yeah, I was." He asked me where I'd go if I died tonight. I said, "Probably hell." And he said, "Not probably. I mean, you know, it's either heaven or hell." And I said, "I'll go to hell." And Dad told me that I didn't have to live that way. I could be free from the sin and the bondage. But he told me it's my choice. If I didn't, it's all up to me. If I don't want to trust in Jesus, trust in what He's done for me. But I decided I wanted to. I wanted to confess my sins. I didn't like living that way. I just didn't have no power over sin. I started confessing my sins. We prayed, and I confessed some more. But I was holding a few sins back. And I think he could see that I was holding some sins back. But I still didn't have a peace in my heart. So the next day, I think the guys went to play basketball on New Year's. And he wondered if I wanted to stay home and just pray and read. I told him I did. So we prayed and we read these verses here. Romans 10. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in that heart, that the word of faith which we preach, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is rich over all, and to him that call upon him. And here's a verse that stuck out to me. It's Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dad asked me what that verse meant, so I reread it. Right then it became clear to me that I was calling on him, but I wasn't believing. And after I reread it, it just dawned on me. I was calling on the Lord. And then, but I wasn't really believing it in my heart. That's when the burden was lifted after I reread it. I knew that he saved me. I knew without a doubt that if I would die, I'd go to heaven. Today I have peace in my heart. Like, we aren't promised to live another day. We all need to examine our life. If you're not born with God, get right with God today. Don't put it off or tomorrow. You might think that you'll wait till a more convenient time, but God. But there's never a more convenient time than right now. Here's some verses that I'd like to read. Mark 1:4-5. And John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there were now unto him all in the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And he, in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And here's one. It just stuck out to me as I was reading the last couple of days. Titus 2:11-14. For by the grace of God, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto men, and teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people and sell us for good works. And here's an interesting quote I read. We may never be martyrs, but we can die to self, to sin, and to the world, to our plans and abominations. And that is the significance of baptism. We died with Christ and rose to new life. With that, I want to show my faith with baptism. May God bless you.
Yeah, I can
testify of a change in Matthew. He seems he, since he gave his life to the Lord and he confessed all his sins, there's been such a difference in the countenance in his face that he almost seems like a different child. He's always joyful. Seems he never has a down day. And I just praise the Lord for what he done for him. And I would also encourage each one of you to not put it off. It seems it's the pride that keeps us from confessing everything. And we hold one little thing back. It would take us down deeper than we ever were before. And thinking on the deaths of our two nieces a couple weeks ago makes you think of it more. You know, they didn't have much time. And I know that Lisa had given her life to the Lord. And I would just encourage each one of you children to do it now. Don't wait, because it might be too late.
Hey, good morning. I'm blessed to be here to hear all the testimonies, to see the mercy of the Lord upon his children. Think of the verse in Isaiah. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I can testify that God still abundantly pardons his children, because we're needy people. But we have to have a starting point, and I see, and I can testify that Matthew has entered into the race. I see a tremendous change in him, and I just pray for wisdom that I could be the father to my children that I ought to be, to be that example, to be patient and merciful as my father is to me. And I do struggle sometimes in those areas, but I can testify that he has a new life. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he's seen the goodness of God. Because I don't think none of us realize how good God is to us. And he wept more then than he did for his sin. And may we, as we go through life daily, see the goodness of God in our lives. Because without it, we'd be consumed. So that's all I have. And I just ask that you'd continue to keep us in your prayers. May God bless you all.
Good morning, all, to every one of you. I greet you in Jesus' precious name, the name that is above every other name. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michelle Lonecker, and I'm 14 years old. My parents are Alvin and Lillian Lonecker. I'm the youngest of six children. And so I share a verse, then I'll go on and share what God has done in my life. John 3:3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." For some time before my conversion, I would often think about what would happen if I died. I knew I wasn't born again, but I would tell myself I was too young, or I'd do it later, maybe at revival meetings or somewhere, but I never did. I went to public school for 2 years, and when I was in third grade, we started homeschooling. The first years, I was a very rebellious girl and very, very hard to work with. I made life pretty miserable for myself and others. Then in 2012, things changed in my life. Jesus came into my heart. One night before I went to bed, I went downstairs and thought I smelled smoke. We looked and didn't find anything. Nevertheless, I went back upstairs with a very thumping heart. As I lay there in bed, I kept thinking, what if the house would burn down and we'd all be in it? I was not ready to die. So finally, I woke Marilyn up and I told her I wanted to be born again. She wondered if I wanted to go talk to Dad and Mom, and I did. And that night, I confessed my sins and asked Jesus to live in my heart. Praise God, he answered my prayer. And that same night, I went back to my bed with true peace in my heart. There have been times since where doubts want to come in, and maybe I'd always feel like I first did, but I have to think of the verse in 1 John 1:9. There it tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus will do this for us. And today I want to seal my faith with baptism in obedience to Christ's command, also as a symbol of what he has done in my life, heart and life. In 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "The like figure whereunto you in baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I just want to say, if there's anyone in this room who is not born again, don't put it off, because life truly is short and eternity is sure. And I also ask for your prayers as we continue on this journey of life. Thank you for listening. God bless.
I just want to greet you all in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can truly say that Michelle has a her heart has been changed. She had said she was rebellious, and with a week ago she burned her arm. It truly showed that she had a new life in it. Because of all the pain that she had, she was didn't let on much at all, so I was thankful for that. And had verses in John 3:1-4, as I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And it's so hard to believe that Michelle was the youngest in the family, and where all the years went to. And also in Ephesians 4:4, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith and one baptism, and one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and all in you all. I'm thankful that she wants to have their faith sealed with the baptism. And Titus 3:11 is for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, and that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a superior people, zealous of good works. Blessings to you all.
Yes, greet you this morning. Thankful to be here. It's a beautiful time that we can rejoice with those that are. The Bible says that we should rejoice with those that are rejoicing and mourn with those that are mourning. So this is a day of rejoicing. I think that we can see souls that are being obedient to the Word of God. I just had a verse here, just to lift up Jesus here this morning in Matthew 3. Verse 16 and 17, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I think in our day, just a quick thought, there's a doctrine among Christianity that we can't do anything once we've been born again. But we can see there that Jesus said, he often said, I did not come to do my will, but I come to do the will of my Father. And how much more should our lives be that way? And here's a verse in John, 1 John 3:22. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So I just believe it's the time that we can do one of those things that the Lord commands us to believe, repent, and to be baptized. So I rejoice for Michelle today. Her choice to walk in truth and commandments of the Lord. She came to her bedroom on 3/28/12. I wrote it in my Bible at 9 p.m. And I believe truly her life changed at that point, because she realized her sin. Even though she wasn't in a lot of sin, she did confess that rebellion in their school life, and just mom came different times and said how Michelle was didn't listen to her, and one time I did have to discipline her at a very at a little older age. I didn't feel it was what I wanted to do, but I did. But after that, I seen a change in her life, and so I rejoice in that. And so we have seen a in her since then a life that is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So I ask you to pray for her, that she can be worthy of this high calling that she's entering into.
Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. For those who don't know me, my name is Christina Brandenberger, and I'm 17 years old. I'm from a family of 10 children. There's 7 sisters and 2 brothers. I have a very short home life, where there's lots of love and or I'm being taught of Jesus and his love for me. While I was still pretty young, I would confess my sins, and I was pretty conscious of what I did and stuff, but I didn't have the true understanding of what it meant to be born again until I was 13. I realized that without Jesus, I was lost, and I was feeling convicted, so one night I went and talked to my parents, and they prayed with me, and there I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In John 3:3-5, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So according to God's word, after we're born again, then comes the need to be baptized, as it says in 1 Peter 3:21. There like figure whereunto even baptism doth also not saveth, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but of the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's my heart, to be faithful to Jesus and to walk according to his word. I know that in the flesh I'll never be perfect, because the devil's out there to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I have the power in Jesus Christ to stand strong and walk in righteousness, because it says in Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I can claim this promise as my own, because I know that he'll be with me every step of the way, and I'll praise him every day for forgiving all my sins and giving me the promise of eternal life. I ask you all his prayers on my life as I go through this journey. God bless you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I too can testify that I know that Christina is walking with the Lord, and what a joy she is in our home. I was sharing with her last night. I just told her there's a beginning as we begin our life walking with the Lord, but then there's also one day going to be an ending. And between that time, God requires of us obedience and faithfulness. And she said, that is what I want. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture, a verse in Revelations, chapter 2. It says, can't think of it right now. Yeah, be ye faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Praise the Lord. Let's keep pressing on.
Greetings to you all in Jesus' holy name. I know that Christina loves the Lord. We often share together about the Lord Jesus. You know, the thing that I went through in my trying time of consciousness, I think that I know the Lord brought me closer to him than ever before because of my dizziness and all these things. I think it reminds me of talking to him a lot when I'm even working. And there's a few verses I want to read here. There's one in Matthew 3, verse 2, and it says, and say and repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there's one in Luke 13, verse 3. I tell ye nay, but except ye be repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And there's so many are going to perish in being in that lake of fire on that last day. I have seen heaven and I have seen hell. And that hell was so awful that I told the Lord to take that from me. and he did. But I still live in the flesh, and we all live in the flesh. We need to fight this flesh with the Holy Spirit that we are in. And then there's one in Acts 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And there's one in Acts 8, verse 22, "Repent therefore of this day of thy wickedness, and pray God, perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." And that was me with my alcohol and stuff. How my wife and I, when we had those meetings in our other place, how he took that from me overnight. And I just thank the Lord continually every day for what he did to me. But we still live in the flesh. We need to fight this daily. God bless you all.
Good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus. For those who don't know me, my name is Gracelyn Brenneman, and I'm 14 years old. In May of 2010, Mo Stoltzfus was speaking here at this church. On the last evening during the singing, someone picked the song, "There is a Happy Land." It was one of the first times I had heard the song, and the words really spoke to me. I saw someone raise their hand and sing like it was real to them, and I knew in my heart I couldn't do that. I felt a heavy weight on me. I knew I was often disobedient to my parents and unkind to my brother and sisters. Suddenly I realized that I was not prepared to enter that happy land. The second line of the song says, "Come to this happy land, come, come away. Why will ye doubting stand? Why still delay? Oh, we shall happy be when from sin and sorrow free. Lord, we shall live with thee, blessed evermore." I knew I needed Jesus as my personal Savior. When we were leaving church, I saw a verse in the back of someone's van that said, "You must be born again." And I knew it was meant for me. John 3:3 says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." After we got home, I confessed my sins to my dad and mom and received Jesus into my heart. That was the night I was born again. That heavy weight was gone, and I felt a peace in my heart that I hadn't known before. John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Later that evening, we were sitting outside, and I remember that the world looked so much brighter. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I knew without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that I was headed for the happy land. The third verse of that song says, "Bright in that happy land beams every eye. Kept by a Father's hand, love cannot die. Oh, then to glory run, be a crown and kingdom won, and bright above the sun, reign evermore." I've had many struggles since the night I gave my heart to the Lord. The devil has wanted me to doubt my salvation, but Jesus is still the answer. 1 Peter 4:12-13 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." The road has not been easy, but I know that Jesus is always beside me, as he promises in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Today I would like to be baptized as an outward sign of an inward change. I would like to seal my faith with baptism in obedience to the Word of God. I would like to read several passages of Scripture that are special to me. 1 John 3:1-2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 1 John 1:6-9, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. As I mentioned earlier, I still have struggles, so please pray for me that I may live a surrendered life to God and my parents, and also as I face Satan's snares. I would like to read a poem that I wrote a while ago. Beyond the heartaches of this life, past all the fear and pain, and far beyond the clouds of gray, amidst the wind and rain, I see a light up yonder, in through my tear-dimmed eyes. Just past the storm and thunder, up there a city lies. And in that land is Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. Beside his throne of glory, angels sing in one accord. And someday soon I'll join them up there on glory's shore. No heartaches there, no sorrow, no tears forevermore. Oh, it will be a happy day when this old world I leave. My friend, I want to see you there on Jesus simply believe. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Just a few words here. We're rejoicing today for this day, and just to testify a little bit about Grace's life there. We have seen a great change taking her place when that happened. And one thing that I had often considered, wondered about, and had a chance to experience it there was, as we, most of us older ones, and we were converted, we experienced a lot of sin in our lives, and they were big sins, and they became very sinful to us, and so often wondered what it would be like for our children. But what I realized, it was no different for Grace. She was some things that she mentioned there, disobedience, and she was. Had her selfish ways with her brothers and sisters, and just there was things in her life there that became very sinful to her, and they bothered her, and there was a weight upon her, and so I realized that no matter what our upbringing is, no matter how good we are and raised, we're still sinful creatures by nature. And need a new heart, and I can say that after that evening, there was a change that took place there that I marveled at and still do to this day. As she continues to walk, she's been a blessing in our home and has taught me things in my Christian walk and watching her life and her desire to live the Christian life here in this earth, pleasing to God. So, a few words here in Philippians 2, 12 through 18. Just our desire here. 12, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." And as I looked at this
So we were reviewing, going over what had happened a few years ago there, and all I can say was it was God. It was a God that did a work in her, in our home there. Do all things without murmur and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you rejoice, and rejoice with me. So that's our desire, and just say God bless everybody, and thanks for sharing this day with us.